My dear brothers and sisters, for many years there was a popular radio show based on daily life in a fictitious town in central Minnesota. And every week the show began. It was a quiet week in Lake Wobegon. I don't know that anyone would call this a quiet week. There is so much going on and so much uncertainty about how the present coronavirus situation is going to unfold that you and I, as people of faith, need to step back and appreciate things not in the panic of everything that's swirling around us, but from the perspective of a child of God. How did we begin our Lenten journey? There was a smudge on our foreheads, and when that smudge was put there, what were the words that were spoken? Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's the start of our Lenten journey, a stark reminder that this earthly life is merely a journey. It has a beginning and it has an end. And the reason why the panic has gripped the world does not want to think that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. One of my friends, who was a doctor, was speaking with one of her patients, and the patient said, "Doctor, if I die," and the doctor stopped them and said, "It's not if, it's when. Human mortality rate is still running at exactly 100%. Each and every single one of us, we have been born and we will die. That is fact. And if you don't believe in God, if you live your life so that this is all there is and there's nothing else, yeah, you should be panicked. If you believe in God but you haven't been paying much attention to Him, if you've been living a life where you're going 1,000 miles a minute towards the edge of a cliff, yeah, now would be a time to start getting worried. If, despite your faith, you have placed false gods in your life, you have allowed God to slip from number one to number two or three or four, or 276b, it's time to look closely and remove those false gods and let God be God in first place. My dear brothers and sisters, this is what they call a clarifying moment. What's the meaning of life? And for such vast amounts of the population of the world, they have no clue what the meaning of life is. And that's why they're petrified when they notice how fragile life is. For you see, we have spent inordinate amounts of time and energy and resources constructing a pseudo heaven on earth. And someone sneezes in China, and the house of cards collapses. We've been living a lie. We have been under the illusion that progress and technology, which are the gods of the modern world, they can protect us. They enable us to have whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. There's an app for that. A drone will come and deliver it for you. And it's all so very, very precarious. It all passes away. You and I will die one day. And not a single one of us know what day that is. I'm assisting a 90-year-old priest in one of our nursing homes who was placed into hospice 15 months ago with days to go. 15 months ago. Nobody knows. I've been at the bedside of so many people that have been written off, and the doctors don't know. On the other end, I buried a 28-year-old this week. We don't know. Is the coronavirus going to get me, or is someone failing to stop at Lake Street at the stop sign going to get me on my way back to the rectory? I don't know. But I do know I'm in God's hands. And I do know that it would be pretty hypocritical of me to pray every day in the words Jesus taught me, "Thy kingdom come." And when the gates of that kingdom open and Jesus says, "Come," I go, "Oh, I was kidding. I'd rather stay here." No. No. "Thy kingdom come" means, "Lord, you are my king. My true home is in your kingdom. And when you call me there, will be the moment of my greatest joy." Now, he's speaking with my mother. You know, priests have mothers too. And someone in the grocery store upset her. And so she called. And she wanted to know, "Your parishioners don't sneeze on you, do they?" And I said, "Mom, I'm in God's hands. You know, I will go to the Lord when he calls." She said, "Yes, I understand, but not before me." Of course, there are aspects to death that are burdensome, that cause fear and sorrow. Death was never part of God's plan. It is the fruit of original sin. And yes, I'd like to spare my mother the sorrow of having to see me go first. But at the same time, I trust the Lord. Now, he gave me a brain and I'm going to use it. And we're going to take all the precautions we can. But I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to be paralyzed by fear. I'm going to live as his servant. And I'm going to try to help those around me who are panicking to see the hollowness of the society we have created, where we can kill an unborn baby, but we're this close to, if you fail to recycle, being thrown in prison. We worship nature as we repudiate the God who created nature. And in fact, we have declared war on God as creator, saying, "I am independent of him, and I can be whoever I want to be." It's so ridiculous to get an email and have it signed with someone, and they have their pronouns underneath it. No, I don't get to determine who I am, because I am not God. I receive the gift of life from God. And when he calls me, I give that gift back in exchange for something so much better. A short journey through the veil of tears gets exchanged for eternal life in the fullness of his love. My brothers and sisters, have faith. We are on a journey. We are on a journey. Don't get comfortable and try to make your heaven on earth. And don't believe the lies that the world around us tells. You know, all of these lies, they make me think. Can I make a confession here? They make me think of a four-letter word. The worst four-letter word. Woke. W-O-K-E. Woke. Right? If you don't recycle everything, if you don't put your pronouns, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, then you're not woke. Right? Well, folks, God can play that game too. Wake up. We need to be spiritually woke. And that's the good that God can bring out of evil. Be alive. If you see, each one of us at baptism, each one of us was given a call to holiness, a call to be a saint and not a slacker. And you and I too often just go through the motions of being a Christian without taking seriously the call to be a saint. And Lent comes around every year and kind of reminds us, nudge, nudge, hint, hint, you know you're supposed to be better than what you are. Yes, 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 but no, let's be spiritually woke. Let's be attentive to how God wants us to be saints, that despite our poverty, our brokenness, we can reflect His glory, and we're supposed to be the instruments of His love to one another. To be spiritually woke means to recognize what that woman at the well didn't recognize at first when she met Jesus. We see Jesus' thirst for her, but she has not yet discovered her own thirst for Jesus. But by being in that dialogue with Jesus, it awakens that thirst within her. All the false gods of this world, all the things that promise happiness. No, we are thirsting like that woman at the well for Jesus. And it's an infinite thirst that can only be quenched by an infinite love. And too often you and I spend our time like the Israelites in the first reading, grumbling. Okay, God, you freed us from slavery, but what have you done for us lately? I might get sunburn out here in this desert. If only we were back in the nice slavery of Egypt. Ridiculous. Let's not be ungrateful. Let's be attentive to how God is leading us. And yes, there are hardships in the way God leads us. That desert was not a fun place. And yes, I can give you lists of saints from the history of the church, because this is not the first epidemic in human history. The church has seen plagues come and go. And I can give you lists of saints that were miraculously preserved from all illness in those plagues. And I can give you lists of saints that were martyrs in those plagues, taking care of the sick. So I can't promise you that there will be no crosses and no suffering. Jesus didn't promise that. But I can promise you, whatever way our particular journey unfolds, the Lord is with us every step. And if we stay close to Him, we have nothing to fear. For His love has conquered sin and even death. That's the culmination of this Lenten journey, the annual reminder of Christ's victory over sin and death. And remembering that helps us to be spiritually woke.